Okay, our second shiur on Evan Shlema. I wanted to pick up with the end of Sif Aleph, or really review and clarify once again the part that we were really rushing through at the end of last week's shiur. And the truth is, it's Bashert, which, as you know, the dictionary definition of Bashert is serendipitous. I made that up. I mean, I think it's a good translation, actually. It's Bashert that Sif Bet is pretty small, so I think we can invest the time in reviewing Aleph, and then we can also still cover Bet, so we'll make some progress today. So just to review, again, the structure of the Sefer, as you have it in front of you, is that the top, or the big bolder letters, is what the father, the student of the Vilna Gaon, kind of summarized and distilled the wisdom and the Musar and the Hashkafa of the Gra. And then around the margins, you have his son, I think it was his son who, a generation later, added the primary texts of the Gra, which is really where, presumably, his father had distilled it. But here we not only get, so to speak, a Chazara, but more than that, we get the original to see the Gra, you know, in his own words, not just in the student's summary, and, you know, the parshanut, if you will, the lumdus, hermeneutics. I gave you three different words for that. How the Gra got these ideas, okay? So the idea that we saw last week, and again, I'm only reviewing this now because we want to pick up with the end of last week's shiur because we really rushed through it, but the big point was, you know, there's a saying in certain contexts, you know, go big or go home, right? So in Evan Shlema, it starts out big, right? The opening sentence, Kol avodas Hashem, toli b'tikun amidus, right? He's leading with his fastball. All of Otis Hashem, like he's already got our attention now, is dependent on, not what most of us would have expected the answer to be, says the Gra, Tikkun HaMidos. And to kind of give us an inkling of where he's going with this, he has this beautiful metaphor that the Midos are Levush LeMitzvos VeKlalei HaTorah. That there is something else that you might think on some level is inherently higher, that's the Mitzvos, or as he calls them, Torah itself. But the reason that midos are so crucial is because they're the levush, the clothe, that protect, that encase everything else. And then he adds a third hyperbolic extreme statement, kol ha-chata'im mushrashim b'midos. Everything bad really could stem from midos. So again, I don't want to review everything we learned last time. We saw basically that there were, if you look on the margins, we saw Aleph and Bet, that really actually, within Aleph and Bet, there were actually three different primary sources that were the basis of this from the Gra. And that is, number one on top was the Gra on Mishlei, the second one, which is where we spent most of our time, the Gra on Megillas Esther, and then the last one, the Gra on Shir HaShirim. So we actually finished, I think, the first two, and then I was rushing outside through the third one. But let's just pick up with a little review of the middle one, Megillas Esther, then we'll see one critical line, but more clearly than we did at the end of last week's shiur on the Shir HaShirim. And then we'll, I think, Blinetter, we will, if we manage our time right, we'll still have time to get to Bet, which is a smaller piece anyway. So why is it, I think the answer, which we tried to develop last week, why is it that the Gra can say, you know, without any shame, so to speak, you know, the Gra wasn't like a guy in the back of the Beis Medrash, you know, hawking around, you know, speaking in hyperbole, you know, this is the best, you know? Kids speak in those terms. I mean, this is, you know, that's the Gra. So why would he say that everything is dependent on midos? So that's, I think, an inkling, a hint to where that could come from. You know, you can answer a question with a question, is why does he refer to it as the Beged? What's going on with all of this? And what we basically tried to explain last week, and again, I just want to review it and clarify, is that midos, in many ways, well, let's say this way. What is the relationship between midos and mitzvos? Right? Okay, if I would have asked anybody, a reasonable person doesn't make you a bad person. Before we started, you know, what's more important, midos or mitzvos? I'm not sure that everyone would have said midos, right? So it wouldn't be, you know. So what is he really getting at? So I think what he's getting at is that, and this is a point we made last week, is that midos, and somebody afterwards, I can't remember who said to me, you know, midam come from the lashon of measurement, limdod. I didn't mention that last time, but it's consistent with what we were saying last time, which is that what the Gra is really getting at it is that a mida, we talk about, he has good midos, right? We use that term colloquially. But what we really are getting at least from the Gra's perspective in a deeper level, is that midos are about the proportion, about putting things in their right place. So, for example, how much ambition should a person have? Versus how much should they be samech b'chalko? Right. So, if in that realm we say a person has good midos, what you really mean is he's found the right balance between those two things. How outgoing versus how introverted. How generous giving away versus how frugal. Right? There's, you know, with almost no exception, there's no inherently bad or inherently good mida. It's trying to find the right balance. And when we talk about someone who has good midos, the way the Gra's understanding it is it means a person who's been able to find the proper balance. That's, I think, one point, which we mentioned. I'm just reiterating it. But a second point, which, again, I want to clarify maybe more than we did last time, is that I'll give you a mashal. And I mentioned it at those who weren't here last week, I mentioned that I have listened over time, and I've gained a lot myself, from shiurim that Rav Lapiansky gave on the Sefer. That's where I first actually, I'd heard of the Sefer in the past, but the first time I got the idea that maybe I should, you know, we should learn this in yeshiva was because I, for 3 years ago, I think during Corona at some point, Lapiansky started a Zoom shiur on this. And this is a mashal I think I heard from him, if I remember correctly. If you give an example of like physical illness, right? So there's the symptoms. The person has a cough, he has a fever, he's achy, there's symptoms. But then there is the broader impact, you know, or the systemic. So the fever and the chills are a symptom of the fact that he has X. And X actually could be much, you know, that second thing is actually much bigger and broader than the more narrow specific symptoms, right? So we detect things, you know, outside in. You have a rash, we realize that there's something going on in your blood or whatever. But Aliba de Emes, it was the opposite. Because something was going on inside, it is expressed in the fever, in the rash, in the whatever. When he means it's the levush for mitzvos, and this whole point he's trying to get at, what he's really getting at is, midos are the bigger point. The avera or the mitzvah that you did, that's coughing. Because of whatever was going on inside of you, you're systemically, you were more healthy or you were less healthy, that is expressed, the symptom of the health is, well, I embarrassed the person. It's an avera called embarrassing a person. Yeah, but that is actually an outer symptom of a deeper insecurity, anger management issue, and even anger. Well, what's that based on? The deeper, you know, it's like sometimes I've given this to some people as a mashal, even in Lomdus, right? As you have the particular shita, the Rambam said this, the Rabbi Akiva Eiger said that, right? But that's a data point. But why did he say that? What's that based on? How do we go deeper? Right? Insert whether you know if you're a Mordechai guy, you call it a mamaham. If you're a different, you know, I don't know what the other abundant call it, a sharsha machlokes, what's the lumdus. But each time you go lower, what's happening? You're always getting broader. Right? This saka, the Rambam here, is based on a broader position of the Rambam there, which is really based on a broader understanding of shtaros there, which is based on a broader understanding of mamonos there. Right? You get, so it's the same thing in Avodas Hashem. The thing that you see first, for good or for bad, is a data point now. It's an outward expression of something. But everything's coming from somewhere. And midos, when we say a person has good midos, at least in the Gra's language, I'm not saying other people, there might be other ways to use the word. But what the Gra's getting at is it means you've got the right proportion. Everything's fit in its right place. Or if you have bad midos, it means that you have too much or in the wrong place at the wrong time of that thing. Now, if you go down, this is again something that we saw last week, but I think we're just needed a little chazara. Towards the end of that second piece, the one on Megillas Esther, so you'll see that he had mentioned that he talked about shalom being the highest of the midos. And that's why it says even, you know, we make a siyam ashas, Hashem never found a kli l'machzik bracha to the olam except for shalom. We mentioned that shalom really is milashon shlemos. Because if midos means having the right balance, the right proportion of gaiva and anava, of this and of that, so each mida, each tension, each duality, you need to find that. But the mida of that is called shleimus. So if in every single part of your personality you're looking to find the right balance, someone who knows how to put everything in balance is a shalim person. And that's why he says here that Berkas Kohanim ends with the word Shalom, because that, again, just to give you a lot of bracha, right? Again, I know we all wish, and I admit I'm the first one. I will pray Hashem will give me the nesayon, you know, of abundant generational wealth in winning the lottery or something, right? Oh, Hashem, I know people say it's a nesayon. I'll take it. I lie, right? And yet, the reality is, just in the last few months, I heard a very fascinating podcast about people whose lives were literally ruined by winning the lottery. There have been numerous articles. At this point, each time you read it or hear about something, there's a little nuance. But the basic point's already pretty well known. Right? So almost anything you think of, if I just gave you too much of it, wouldn't be necessarily good either. Shalem or shlemos, or having the right midos, is finding that ability to keep it all in balance. And that's what he means by that they are the levush of the mitzvos to Klal Torah. A person could be running around doing mitzvos, but it could be scatterbrained. It needs to be in the right balance, in the right proportion, right? Again, just simple things, but I know they're not simple for anyone, but certainly not guys your age, right? That question every year, should I stay longer at the Kites Mon, should I go to camp? Should I be a counselor in Camp X, or should I learn in Program Y? More help, more for me, right? All good questions. These are all good things. How do you find the right balance? That ability to try to figure out a way to find the right balance and proportion, that's midos. And that's why they're a levush for the mitzvos. Because just learning might not be the right thing. Or maybe it is the right thing. What could be bad about chesed? Well, the answer is maybe that's not what you're supposed to be doing now. Right? So finding the right balance, all those things, that's what midos is. And that's why midos are the levush even for the mitzvos. Moreover, here I want to just get to now the thing we really rushed through at the end last time, and then we're almost ready to start the new stuff, which is the last paragraph, which is Begrad Shira Shirim. So let's read that sentence inside again. I think we might have said this at the end of last week's shir, but I definitely rushed through it too fast. So again, he's making this point as we've already seen, but here he adds one thing that I think is important. He says, why is it that we're saying that, you know, everything comes down to midos? So here in Shira Shirim, he says the following. Pirish, v'epnei shehanhagas ha'adam, v'hechrechi lo, heim beis hadvarim. You can really divide up all of our midos and all of our actions into two categories. Shehem midos shemenram lamakom, umidos shemenram lachavero. So first of all, and I mentioned this very quickly at the end of last week's year, we were rushing, it's a little bit of a chiddush, right? The categories we've heard of, duh. But we usually think of those as the categories of mitzvos. We don't think of them as the categories of midos. So for, you know, and if I would ask any one of you, I'm confident, you know, what realm is midos part of? Instinctively, we all say that's the Ben Amachavero thing, right? That's the way we all use the term. You know, so-and-so is not only stark, not only a good learner, but he has good midos. Or so-and-so is not suffering, but he has good midos. We're always using it, for better or for worse, or whatever context, as a substitute, it really is a synonym, maybe lazily, but we do, for Ben Amachavero. Comes along the Grod, says you're only half right, because there's such a thing as midos Ben Amachavero. That gets our attention. And then he adds one more thing, and we'll put it all together. And that is, he adds one more sentence. Umash she'be'ram l'makom hu bifnim, umash she'be'ram l'chavero hu bachutz. What does that mean? That the midos, which we don't even know what they mean, the midos be'ram l'makom are mi bifnim, and the quote midos that you and I usually think of the term, he's a nice guy, he helped old lady across the street, he volunteered to watch the little kids during youth groups in shul, or whatever the things we think of mean as good midos, he works for yachad, all that stuff. That's called mibachutz. So what are we getting at? So I think this is very similar, but maybe with a little different dimension than the previous point we were making. And that is that, first of all, the very fact that he's talking about midos b'ron l'makom, you know, is a proof that the way he's using the word midos, he doesn't mean the way we use the word midos, but rather he means, again, having everything in its right place, in its right proportion. And I think, and this again, I think is an insight I heard from Rav Lopiansky, why do we more typically associate midos with Ben Am L'Chavero versus Ben Am L'Makom? Because Ben Am L'Makom is much more rigorously defined. There are many more Maisa Mitzvah. On the other hand, Ben Am L'Chavero, V'Atarecha Kamocha, which is pretty much the source for like everything Ben Am L'Chavero, is vague. Like, what does that mean exactly? So once we understand that midos means trying to understand what fits where and what's the right balance and proportion, so yeah, having good midos means figuring out, yeah, when should I be doing the chesed versus when should I be worrying about myself? When should I be worrying about this versus when should I be worrying about that? When do I have to listen to my parents and when can I have a little more independence? All those kind of things, there's more room for their expression in Bein Adam L'Chavero. But the decisions in many ways are the same. So, for example, this again, I think might have been a mashal that I heard, or an example I heard from Rav Lopiansky as well. If you have a person who is going through life, you know, I'm not getting what I deserve, and it's not fair, and all that kind of stuff. Let's say a person has that's a mentality, or the way we're saying it now, kind of a midah, right? That's going to affect Which one? Ben Amakom or Ben Amachavero? The answer is both. Your whole relationship with Hashem is different. But we all know, I mean, you should know, certainly at my age, but you definitely learn. But I'll save you the time. You can learn it now if you don't yet know, right? Most people who are miserable to other people, it's because they're really miserable with themselves. I'm not excusing when people are obnoxious. And in the right way, they have to be called out often. But instead of just being, like, judgmental of such people, I'm a pretty judgmental person myself, so I relate to that. But the truth is, in many ways, they really just need rachmanis. Yeah, it's not minimizing the pain they can cause other people, but they're really often just acting out because they're miserable. So if you have that mentality, or that quote-unquote midah, that way of looking at the world, it's going to affect the way you look at Hashem. You're resentful, and I didn't get what I want, and how come his family's better than my family, and how come his marriage is better than my marriage, and how come he has better pronouns than I have, and all the things that people do in life when they're jealous and miserable and bitter. But it's also going to affect how you view other people. But here's the kunz. Why does he call Benam Lamakom Bifnim the Benam Lachaver Mibachutz? So I think what he's getting at is, ultimately, even though it's totally different than what we usually would have thought, which one comes first? In a certain sense, your midos benam lamakom. Benam lamakom in this sense doesn't just mean tefillin and tzitzis versus, you know, being nice to people. What it means is, how do I view myself vis-a-vis Hashem? How do I understand vis-a-vis Hashem what's my role in the world? Right? Once you figure that out, and the answer is sometimes people spend their whole lives figuring that out, but wherever you are currently in your sense of that, like, what's my role in the world? Again, this is why, by the way, for so many people, these years of your life, and especially in yeshiva, are often so transformative, because you are thinking about questions you never thought about, you're realizing, you know, you may change your mind in 5 years, but you may have at least tentatively reached certain conclusions that you didn't even think about beforehand. Mela, all sorts of, for lack of a better term, nafkaminas happen. Eventually, including the way you relate to other people. I can tell you, again, without getting into all the details now, we don't have time, but it's absolutely true for me. I'm embarrassed in some of the, I think in last year in my Shana Al-Chug, sometimes I would mention this, but I'm almost like embarrassed at some of the things I think about back when. But if I think about, for example, one example that illustrates how this happened to me, it was, at least in my own head, I'll leave to other people to say, well, whether I was right or not, but at least in my own head, I was a very, very good basketball player. I was the captain of the varsity for 2 years, so at least somebody thought I was something. But I was not only demanding on myself, I was very demanding on everybody else. And I was basically obnoxious on the court, like to my own players. Right? The most embarrassing thing probably that I could ever remember was, I remember being in 12th grade, and we were like shooting foul shots. Maybe the other team was shooting foul shots, I can't remember. And like while there was, you know, like a temporary pause in play, and while like they're waiting for something to happen, I must have been yelling at or being upset at one of my teammates because he dropped the ball or whatever it was. And like the guy from the other team, like, he says, you know, it must really stink to be on your team. It wasn't like the way nowadays people talk trash. It was like, we're subtle and refined, but it went right here. And I realized, like, I was a jerk. Right? I wasn't not from, and I wasn't a bad person, but I wasn't as from as I should have been probably in 12th grade, and I definitely wasn't as nice as I should have been. Fast forward, at some point, Baruch Hashem, I grew a lot in my Shana Aleph, and that manifested itself in my davening and my learning and all the typical yeshivish ways. But I also was a mensch on the court. I didn't make a conscious decision. It just happened organically. Because my whole tefisa of life changed. That's what the Gra means. When your midos ben on lamakom, when your sense of who you're supposed to be and what's important in life, that's going to affect a lot of things, including how you treat other people and ben on lachavero. So far, so good. Any questions? Good? Okay. I don't just like hearing my own voice, so you are allowed to talk. Weiter, okay. We have 10 more minutes. Let's just do Beis. That's really, I think, all we'll need for Beis. But I think it was worth the investment. But just so you should know, again, however long it takes us to do Perek Aleph, maybe we'll do every paragraph, maybe we'll skip at some point. But Perek Aleph is all about Midos, so the next few times we meet. But if, you know, other Prakim are different things, you know, even maybe some of the first few Prakim, but at some point he has Prakim on completely different topics. So, but for now, we are dealing with Midos. Okay, Bet is short, but it's also very, very important. He has the Gra is still riding high on these, you know, headline grabbing, attention grabbing lines. There you have it. Turn the page. Bet. Iker chiyus ha'adam hul hischazek tamid b'shviras amidos. V'im lav lama lo chayim. Says Evan Shlema in the name of the Gra. You know, I'm not sure which one's more dramatic or less, but very, just like he had said in Aleph, that the Ikar of Avodas Hashem is having good midos, here he says the Ikar Chiyas HaAdam. How would you translate that? The Ikar...
Being about life's mission.
Yeah, the Ikar purpose of life, the Ikar mission of life is to, quote-unquote, break your midos, which clearly he means to say, to improve, right? Even if it's hard, to break your midos, number one. And Hischazek Tamid, right? He's also telling you, this is not a one-time thing, but an ongoing process. If Imlav, and if you're not doing that, Lama Lo L'chai. What's the purpose of life? What's the purpose of life? If not, Shfiras Amidos. Okay, now, this is pretty attention-grabbing, and I would say at some point, maybe it seems a little bit hyperbolic. So let's take a look. We think we can understand this. We'll just look, and if you look in Dalid on the slide, so he quotes three different gruz, but I think it's more than enough to just see the first one, and that'll be enough for us. A Mishle, Perek Dalet. So there he starts off by quoting the Pasuk in Mishle, Hachsek b'Musar. This is Shlomo HaMelech talking. Hachsek b'Musar, you should grab hold of Musar. And again, clearly the Gra is substituting the word Shviras Amidos for Musar. Al Teref, don't let go. Nitzre, ki hi chayecha. Right? Keep it, because it's your life. So just working off of the language, the Gra says, and now we're not paraphrasing, now we're in the Gra himself. Echos es HaMusar. Shaschalas, sheitzchaltebo, the techazaket atzmacha b'musar. Right, grab hold of it and don't let go. Afilu lefishachas, even for a moment, briefly, don't let go. Al tarafat atzmacha mina musar. Don't remove yourself. Don't separate yourself from musar. Why? El adaraba, tosif tamid. Should always be adding gedarim umitzvos al hamusar. Shalot tavoli de'rifayon. You should always be looking to push yourself, grow more and more and more, so you don't backslide, so you don't weaken. And as the Pasuk that he was just quoting, this is the Pasuk from Mishle that we just saw a minute ago, ends with the last three words, Ki hu chayecha. So says the girl, what does he mean by Ki hu chayecha? Ki hi chayecha, excuse me. Ki masha adam chai, hu kedei l'shaber hamida. The whole purpose of life is to fix, to work on ourselves, to change ourselves, to grow. Shelo shevara, something that you hadn't yet previously broken, that you hadn't previously reconstructed, rebuilt, fixed. Kach l'chein, excuse me, sarach tamid l'chazek. We always have to be pushing ourselves. Okay, so this was the Gra in his own words. And you see that even though it was a little bit shorter and more concise and there was no source texts, no Pasuk and Mishle, but more or less you see up on the top of the page a pretty, you know, fair summary of what we just saw from the Gra. So let's make a few ha'aras so we understand, I think, what he's getting at in a very, very profound way. The Gra is teaching us something very important. And that is that if we want to have an internal change, right, midos are who we are, right? How we, that will primarily come through repetitive action. But when we do repetitive action, the real goal is not just the action, but the lasting impact it makes on us. I'll give you as a mushal, if you've heard of a concept in psychology, behavioral modification. Take somebody who's petrified of snakes or petrified of dogs. It's actually relatively easy to cure almost everyone from those kinds of things. And the lumdus, if you will, the treatment is called behavioral modification. And the first time, they 2 seconds with a dog, then 10 seconds with a dog, then 15 seconds with a dog, and before you know it, you got, you know, three dogs at home, or whatever. I'm obviously simplifying it. But the point is, each time the doctor, let's say you went to the psychologist and they gave you the whole prescription. I'll see you in a week, but each, I want you to, you know, or a person who's very shy. Yes, I want you the first day to say hello to two people you don't know. The next day, I want you to say hello to three people you never knew. Right? The goal is never those things. It's not saying hello, and the goal is not the 30 seconds to know the dog. It's each of those times, it's making an invisible but very real impact internally. Moreover, the action itself is fleeting. It ends whenever it actually ends. But if it made an impact, that could be forever. In essence, what is the Gra telling us? That it's the same thing with these various actions, or a mitzvah even. When I do that, it's over, whenever I did whatever I did. But its impact on me is potentially eternal. And therefore, says the Gra, what are we here for? Think about exercise, right? You start working out, you're using, I don't know, 20 pounds, 30, whatever the weight you're using. In the beginning, it's hard. At some point, if you keep up with it, you don't even feel the resistance anymore almost, right? Would it make any sense, would anyone recommend maintaining the same thing over and over and over again? You're not growing. Right? You only grow when there's some kind of resistance. That's shviras amidos, that is to say. In other words, there's something that's not exactly right. It's not aligned, right? Again, sometimes you need a Rebbe or a parent, a wife, somebody to point out to you, and sometimes you know it on your own. You know, I'm not who I should be, I'm not acting the way I should be, I'm not thinking the way I should be. The things to work, we have to do good things even if we're good at them already, because there may be mitzvos, right? But in terms of the goal of life, doing the things you're already good at aren't the goal of life. The corner of the grah. The goal is, you know where the goal of life is? Wherever you feel the resistance. Because that's the only way you're actually going to be growing. And the second you stop feeling any resistance, as he says, azlam alohaim, then what's the point? So, moreover, we also know, and exercise is a perfect example. I have, my last 20 plus years of my married life, started and stopped exercising multiple times. When I'm in the groove exercising, this speaks to me totally. I keep notes. Okay, here I ran this many kilometers in 30 minutes, and I can see the progression over time, and I'm getting better, and I'm always pushing myself, and I always drop it. And when I say always, I don't mean, I hope that's not a nevuah, but looking back, I'm just being honest. That's why I'm carrying a little extra today. But that's why, so that was the gross point we saw here. You have to be lahachzik batamid, because the second you stop, there's a natural gravity pulling you, right? And again, weight, especially for middle-aged men, is a good muscle for that. If you're conscious about it, unless you're one in a million, you will naturally be not growing the way you want. You have to fight it in a certain sense. And once you feel that you're not fighting anymore, you're just coasting. So says the gross, the same thing in midos. It's not just the actions. It's the actions. Once you are doing an action, again, it might be a mitzvah. I'm not telling you, if you don't feel quote-unquote tension in putting on tefillin, it doesn't mean you don't stop putting on tefillin. It just means that that's not where you're growing. But if you have to be doing things that you're feeling some kind of quote unquote shira, some kind of tension, because that's the only way without the friction, right? If you don't turn up the tension or the friction on the spinning bike, you're not going anywhere, right? If you don't feel that, you can't grow. It's the same thing with our neshama, with our midos as well. Okay. Shabbat to all of you.